Oh, hello again. Glad you could make it. Welcome back to my holiday cabin in Parts Unknown for this year's Retronauts Christmas special. I've strung up the War on Christmas decorations and plugged in the festive Patrick Swayze mannequin just in time for our special guest to arrive. And just like with our previous Christmas specials, this one will be full of winter-themed video game music chosen by our listeners. And I think our guests are here now. It seems like they've managed the 500-mile hike through inclement weather and roving packs of wolves. So let's talk to them. So, hey guys, how's it going?
Hi, how's it going?
Hello.
Thanks for coming out. Oh, glad you can make it.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't tell anyone where this is, by the way.
Oh, no, of course not.
Because this is my, just in case things go to shit in America.
We're burning the map that you give us.
Okay, good. I'm stockpiling weapons as we speak. So,
isn't this Walter White's
old cabin?
Who
is here for today's... you know what? It kind of looks like that inside. But who is here today? Actually, let's go. Who's here sort of in spiritual form? He's floating around. He's carrying chains with him. You might say he sounds like he's on Skype, but I don't think that's really true.
Oh, hi. I'm the ghost of Christmas Podcasts Present, a.k.a. Jeremy Parrish.
And Jeremy, I hope you didn't die on the way here, but you're looking kind of transparent and blue.
That's because I'm a ghost, dude. I'm here to make you think about all the bad things you're about to do to us.
Just don't, like, walk through me or anything. I find that creepy.
Yeah.
Who else is here today?
Ray Barnholt, member of the Secret Society, number 437.
Thank you for coming out here, Ray. I appreciate it.
Of course.
I think you were here a few years ago.
I don't remember.
You might have been. I could have wiped your memory clean.
I think that was it.
And we have a special guest today.
Chris, the Christmas Toy Boy Antista.
Nice. And Chris is no stranger to Christmas specials. Can you tell us your history with these things, Chris?
My lady friend and I thought it would be fun to start a website on animated Christmas specials. I love cartoons. We established that before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big animation fan.
You are wearing a Chip and or Dale t-shirt. You should really put on some heavier clothes, Chris.
It's really cold out here.
It's like -50 out there.
But I got to represent.
Okay, right. I appreciate
it. Urban Outfitters, apparently.
Your arms are black with frostbite, but...
Italian hair.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, all
just
right.
Like Mario.
So yeah, Christmas specials are or at least were a fixture of our childhoods and the childhoods of our parents, but they're really not a huge thing anymore. But I decided, for this Christmas special, we would look at Christmas specials, and these are the most special Christmas specials because they are from the Mario cartoons. And we're going to start by talking about the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and the episode in particular... well, it has two titles. The title of the live-action segment is called Little Mario's, and the title of the cartoon segment is called Koopa Claws. And like any Christmas special, this aired in October. Late October. Just in time for Halloween. So yes, Deke, the makers of Captain N, also made the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and in the same year, so I think they must have snatched up a bunch of licenses at once, and I feel like the brunt of their talent went to Captain N, because compared to Captain N, Captain N is like a Miyazaki movie compared to the Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yeah, it's wall-to-wall animation and less basement puppet show.
Yeah, yeah, it's not as embarrassing as watching grown men act like babies, which is what happens in this one. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show, which I'm going to be saying a lot, 65 episodes, as we said, they have live-action segments that sort of pad out the animation, and a lot of these shows we're going to be talking about is about padding, because... animation is expensive, and there's probably only about a half cartoon's worth of animation in any given episode of this show.
You're being very generous, Bob.
What's that? Okay. I guess I am. I'm just trying to be nice, because Mario and Luigi are now both dead. So
yeah,
we lost Luigi the other day. The year of Luigi ends with Luigi being born again in his new form.
Punctuated with a tombstone.
Yeah. And apparently, the live-action segments with Danny Wells and Lou Albano were replaced later by Club Mario, which included, weird Gen X, dudes, rapping.
Rollerblading extraordinaires, I call them. Mm. But, yes, two Gen Xers of varying ethnicity that the show ran, I think, longer with those guys doing the host segments than Lou Albano, because it did seem more did seem more of the time.
And it was a way just to recycle content, because the Mario and Luigi segments did not have anything to do with the cartoons themselves, so they could be removed
at
any point.
In fact, I think that's how they have two Christmas specials. One, the host segment is a Christmas-themed episode, and the cartoon is not, and vice versa.
Like, the second one has like a Star Wars parody, and it's like, what the hell? It's like, they're really like, no, we want two Christmas specials, so let's spread this out as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, Chris is more closer to the, Ray and I's age. I'm not sure. Jeremy, were you at all aware of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, or did you scoff at it while putting out cigarettes and drinking whiskey?
This prepping for this podcast is the first time I've ever seen either of these shows.
Wow.
And I just wasn't prepared.
Did you intentionally avoid it? Did it look stupid from the get-go to you?
Yeah, I was an old man by that point. By old man, I mean like in junior high school or something. So there is no way I was going to subject myself to that.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
I loved it. I was definitely watching it at a time where I did not know it was dumb. Yes.
Oh, same here.
I'm blaming the era. No, I was too dumb enough to realize it was
okay.
Dumb.
Well, I mean, our brains weren't developed to understand what was happening to us, but like, I remember watching this every day because it was on every day. It was a weekday show, while eating fish sticks, you know, the typical after school adventure. Don't burn the house down and watch Mario, and your parents will eventually be there at some point.
Yeah.
Ray, how about you? Mario Super Show.
Yeah, I've seen it. This was back when I've mentioned this before about how my dad only had satellite TV for a while, so I could not really catch it at any sort of reasonable time or when everybody else was watching it. So I'm sure I've seen most of it at the time, but yeah, I caught it when I could because I loved Mario stuff. So yeah, of course I would watch it. Yeah.
So let's get into the episode itself. As much as Jeremy doesn't seem to want to do that, it is painful. I'll say that. Like, I watched this last night, and this is going to be like a hateful Christmas.
No, I need catharsis. This is good.
Okay, yeah. This is going to be a hateful Christmas for us, and I mean, maybe it'll help warm up the cabin a little, but like, this show, I feel like, has such contempt for children. It just is like, you guys are stupid, you're easily entertained, so we're going to make this as shoddy and inexpensive as possible.
All these kids' mouths are open, let's throw things into it until they're full.
Yeah, exactly. You came for Mario, you're gonna get your bare minimum of Mario content.
And it starts out with a Looney Tune.
Having never seen this show before, I'm really fascinated by the fact that apparently they replaced Princess Peach or Toadstool or whatever they were calling her with Princess Daisy. That's totally Daisy. That's not Peach. Yeah.
That's freaking weird. Just because she has brown
hair. And also,
hair.
Why haven't they killed Toad yet? Is he like that in every episode?
Yeah, but that's the cool. Well, I shouldn't say. One of the things I do like about watching the show now, it's this weird time where the canon of Super Mario 1 and 2 and Land were coexisting at the same time.
Yeah, like there were Shy Guys and Goombas living together. It was
flurries
madness.
In the snow episode.
Yeah.
Flurries!
Yeah.
No, every creature in here, practically every creature in here, is a Super Mario Brothers 2 enemy. But Bowser's like, go my bombs! Go my flurries! Blah! I'm like, no, what about Wart? Was he like a sub?
Yeah, Wart made no appearance in this cartoon at all. Like,
I think he did.
Yeah. I think they understood Bowser was, or sorry, King Koopa was the strongest like villain figure.
And that was, for my generation, the weird Bluto Brutus situation. Like, what is the name of Mario's enemy? Because this show solidified to me that his name was Koopa.
Right, and I believe, isn't he King Koopa in Japan? And Bowser is sort of the American name?
Yeah.
Just Koopa.
Yeah.
It took me a little bit of conditioning to go back to calling him Bowser.
And like, I had to think about it for a second, but like, I was talking about padding, and this show is so padded, and you can tell because you get a theme song. It is like, in the tradition of 80s theme songs, it's a minute and a half.
It's about itself.
Yeah, it's like...
With the Mario Brothers and Plumbing's a game, we're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. So hang on to your seat, get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the bridge. I say a hook, 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 hook. The brothers!
Yes.
And the weird thing is, this sort of became canon in its own way of, like, the Mario, like, how they got to the Mushroom Kingdom. It's just, like, I mean, it's the most obvious way, but it sort of was adopted by Nintendo, I think. Like,
it was
used
in the comics, it was used in the movie.
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
The whole device of how they fell into this strange world, and now they have to save a princess.
Right, so...
They're from Brooklyn.
You have a rap song with multiple verses, you know, that'll eat up some time, right?
Yes.
And then...
Let's go, it's Mario, all together now.
And then, there's a dance at the end, like, how much... Okay, but...
Oh, don't make me yell it.
Oh, God.
That comes up. Go to Mario! That's when you know the show's over.
It's time to come down from your Mario high. Yeah. But, yeah, like, we're talking about padding, and we're going to get to what comes after the theme song, but you get another version of this theme song when the live action segment ends. So this show has two theme songs. It's like, I know what the show's about already, and that's sort of annoying me as a kid, because it's like another minute of time being eaten up that is not like original content. So this episode opens with Mario and Luigi watching blood sports on television and getting really into it, and an adorable Moppet comes in named Brian. And he says he's running away from home, and I guess Mario and Luigi know him. They have some previous relationship. Actually, this is sort of a guest celebrity. This is the little kid from Family Ties.
Oh, it was?
I don't know if you guys recognized him at all, but he was sort of like the odd-looking Jerry Maguire baby of his time.
Wow.
You know, just like the ultra-adorable child.
I didn't like that show at the time. I'm only getting into it now.
Okay, I think it was like Baby Nicky or something. That was the character's name or whatever.
Sure.
I don't know. But like, and
Little Nicky.
I think Nick was was the sister's boyfriend.
Okay, well, I mean, he was the adorable child on Family Ties.
May I say, though, in this segment,
I thought that was Michael J. Fox.
No, he's just the size of an adorable child.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
This dialogue is wasted on him.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, he's really, they're really depending on him to give, like, you know, to sort of,
to know what timing is?
Yeah, to know what timing is. Maybe, can you explain
to
what the lines are?
To act in any sense?
Well, I you know, try and forget it as much as I can.
He's trying to, like, give excuses. Like, he has a suitcase with him, and Mario and Luigi are like, what are you doing? He's like, would you believe I'm doing this?
Yeah.
And it's like, but he's like, I'm selling Tupperware. It's like he's like looking at his handler off stage, you know?
Yeah.
Then he quickly caves in. It's like, wow, I caved in faster than I thought.
Yeah.
Ryan! What are you doing here, and what's with the suitcase?
I'm selling pots and pans, door to door.
Ryan!
How about encyclopedias?
Ryan!
Would you believe Tupperware?
Really? Ryan!
Okay, I admit it. I'm lying like a dog. I'm running away from home.
So, yes, we are left on a cliffhanger. There's a child in Mario and Luigi's apartment. And they don't know what to do with him. But, you know, it's time for the cartoon to start. So we hear the theme song again, and that happens.
Nothing else matters.
No, it's like...
This is the theme to Mario Show. The Super Mario Show. This is the theme to the Super Mario Show.
Do you get it yet? You're watching the Mario Show.
That's a pretty good combination of world and Super Show's themes, Jeremy. Good job.
Yeah. You're no Mark Mothersbaugh,
My
but
pleasure.
We'll get to that later. So we open this cartoon with King Koopa. As a very Grinch-like...
Bah, I hate Christmas.
Yes.
Bah Hum Koop
is said at
so
least, like,
times.
13 times throughout the course of this very short episode. But it should be noted that in this series, like, the Mario Brothers are in, like, different realities with every episode. Like, in this reality, like, Koopa is, like, Koopa Claus.
Yes.
But in another reality, he's, like, Benedict Arm Koop or whatever. Like, they have a real fascination with adding, like, turning the word Koopa into a pun for everything.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's as clever as things get.
But it's not a pun. It's not really a pun. It's just they randomly insert Koop in place of another syllable.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
yeah.
Like Ronald Ray Koop.
There's no rhyme or reason to it.
It's just like the word Koop is funny, I think.
Oh,
and,
it is. It's like Koop, man.
Yeah.
Years ahead of current seasons of The Simpsons.
Yeah, I mean, even like, God, even like the Flintstones at least tried to,
right.
to
yes.
like,
there was,
I, like.
There was some kind of funny
Arnold
pun
Stone
names
Rock.
In the Flintstones, but
yeah.
No, not here. Not like this.
So, Koopa Claus has a plan to freeze the North Pole for some reason, because no story editor was available to look at this plot.
This was one of those, having reviewed so many Christmases, crappy licensed products tend to start out, it's just easy to establish the villain, oh, yeah, of course he hates Christmas.
Right, right.
And he just wants to destroy it. Not Jesus, not symbolism, just this Christmas.
Well,
right
it worked, now. It worked for... Dr. Seuss,
yes.
And surely this is a monumental work every bit as admirable and commendable
that would have been
as Dr. Seuss.
That would have been a much easier parody for them to shoot for.
Yeah.
You can
a giant green grumpy dude who wants to ruin Christmas. Right.
Instead, there's not really...
Right, but you know, that would require some sense of self-awareness and also, like, I think, you know, more than about a day to turn around the entire script.
In defense of this writer, I think he was writing another episode with his other hand.
And like,
yeah, right. Probably so.
He was pitching Mario World with his foot at the same time.
But I mean, the plotting and the action and just like everything that happens in this episode works at about the level of, you know, little stories that I wrote that were like 3 pages long when I was in second grade.
And every sentence began with "and then."
Yeah, pretty much. Like, oh, well, we need to shoot down Bowser because he's escaping with Santa. Let's throw an ice cube onto a seesaw that just happens to be here.
We will get to that
we'll jump on it in
excruciating
and it just,
scene.
It was a dark and stormy night during the solstice in the North Pole.
So Koopa Claws...
It's just really fortunate that was facing the right way.
Yeah. So in this episode, there's a real Bugs Bunny ripoff here where Mario and the gang are tunneling underground and they pop up in the North Pole.
Yes.
And I think one of them says...
Toad took a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
They didn't even go that far. It's like apparently they wanted to go to Hawaii Land, which is, I guess, their attempt at Mario humor.
It also feels like they were making... They're aliens who just watched a couple cartoons, and I think that's how they thought they were transported anywhere.
Yeah, it's like, of course all cartoon characters tunnel underground. Yeah.
Daffy does it. Prove me wrong, you're fired.
So, like, Mario and the gang decide to take advantage of this. Like, hey, we're at the North Pole. It's Christmas Eve. Let's go visit Santa Claus because he's real. And Toad is suddenly, like, he becomes the green-eyed monster we all fear.
Santa!
Oh, God.
God, I hate him.
Yeah, it really makes your skin crawl to hear Toad screech. But apparently, like, Toad's true colors come out and he goes toy... he goes...
I can't wait to see Santa. I just know he's got a fabulous present for me.
Actually, Toad, I've got something I wanted to give to you.
Did someone say something about a present? I've always got time to get a Christmas present.
Merry Christmas, Toad. After all your hints, I decided to give you just what you wanted.
Yay! A snowboard! I love Christmas!
Toy crazy. He's always concerned about toys now, and like that's the focus of this episode.
But he gets scolded like once. And
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of slowly learns his lesson by himself throughout the rest of the episode.
Right.
It's like, only as an adult, like, weren't you a Mushroom Kingdom regent or something?
Yeah. Retainer.
Yeah, why are you. When did you become a baby? Yeah.
So I'm sorry if you're lost, but this is just a bunch of random events that eventually has an ending. But yeah. So Koopa Claws attacks them because that he's Koopa Claws, and Toad is more concerned about his snowboard than human life. And people are upset about that because, you know, come on, Toad, like, get with the program. We're human beings. We deserve compassion and love. And I think the princess scolds him here, too, right? Is that the one time he gets a talking
that's
to?
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, nothing really happens in this cartoon.
Don't cry, Santa!
Yeah.
All
right.
It really is, from this point on, just a bunch of really lousy chase scenes.
It is. Each with a crescendo ending that then starts a new episode. And that's the ending and the beginning. I guess we'll have to cancel Christmas. Yeah. Why? Nothing happened.
Yeah, it's like we need some sort of, like, the stakes are suddenly, like, thrust upon this episode.
The North Pole was frozen, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's
and
like,
Toad says something nice to Santa. Toad, your words have cut to the heart of
I've never
all he
experienced.
Said was, "Don't cry, Santa."
Yeah.
Does no one say anything nice to you, fat man?
Yeah, it really seemed like he was okay. I mean, that's the ending. I do want to get to some.
No, there's
of the...
another ending.
Those elves are real jerks. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like all they do is just heap verbal abuse on Santa. But I'm gonna be honest. I had a really hard time investing myself in this episode because I know that Santa's not real.
Oh.
And knowing that these fictional stakes are what everyone's after, I don't know. Like, I just can't bring myself to care.
There is just a bunch of wacky chases. Mm-hmm. A lot of shouting of Bah Hum Koop, as Chris said. It's just like, I was watching it with my girlfriend the other day, and like, about the 13th time he said Bah Hum Koop, I think we both said F you, because it was just like, no, this isn't funny or clever. It's not doing anything. All you're doing is eating up time. Mm-hmm. I think, like, let's throw in 5 more Bah Hum Koops. That'll be 10 seconds. We won't have to write actual dialogue.
Bah Hum Koop.
Mm-hmm. It is weird. A lot of animation from this period did feel like killing time.
Yeah.
Evil's triumphed over, but we still have things. There's still a couple minutes left.
And, like, the characters always explain what they're going to do before they do it, or they always explain, like, what they're going to do while they do
it.
Yeah. And it's just like, there's one scene that Jeremy
That's
brought
up. It's called an epilogue, Chris.
What?
Learn about some literature, okay? It's called an epilogue.
Yeah. There's one scene that Jeremy brought up, man. Where it's like, they're using a catapult to launch an ice block at Koopa, and it takes so long for that to happen. In a Looney Tunes cartoon, it would happen in 10 seconds.
Yes,
Bugs would just throw it onto the thing, jump onto the seesaw, and it would fly up in the air.
It's because Luigi's a pussy.
But Mario's like, all right, Luigi, throw it over here, but I don't want to throw it. It's really heavy. Okay, well, then bring it over here and hand it to me. No, just drop it on.
You know, I have back problems. Well, take your pills.
And then there's
okay.
Like, yeah, there's like a 15-second segment of Luigi like holding his back and going, oh my back.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, isn't back excruciating back pain funny, children?
Hilarious.
But it's so hilarious.
We got one shot, Luigi! Toss me a snowball for the igloo! I'm supposed to toss this to you, then bring it to me!
All it does is eat up time. Like, they can't think of anything for these characters to do, so they come up with, like, the most basic things, and then they overwrite them. So they're just excruciating to watch. Like, that whole, like, the throwing of the ice at Koopa Slay takes, like, 30 seconds when it should take, like, 10 seconds. Because there's a conversation about it.
Yeah.
There's a conversation while it happens. And
Show, don't tell, guys.
I'm sure there's, like, an analysis of what happened afterwards with, like, X's and O's, like a football sort of thing. Like, yes. And then I did this. Okay. So... what is there left? Okay, so we talked about the ending. Let's just go into greater detail. So they make it to Santa Claus's... Santa is saved from Koopa for some dumb reason.
Oh, wait, but Mario is dressed the entire episode in tropical gear.
That's right.
And fights with a whip.
That's right. He calls it his plumber's snake?
He calls it his plumber's snake.
Is that what it was? I didn't know if there was any canonical reason for that thing to be there.
I mean, he has a whip in Donkey Kong Jr. If you want to really reach. Like, he has a whip in the beginning of the game. Actually, he always has a whip at the top of the screen. He's, like, whipping the little monsters. But I don't think they were even, like, motivated by that.
No. I don't even know. Although, some of the slippery ice sound effects sounded like they were taken out of Mario Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
not a Super Mario Brothers game. So I guess they were just kind of, like, the whole thing was a grab bag. But... like, the idea of a plumber snake, you know, a flexible metal rod that you put into pipes to clear them out, somehow turning into a whip. Why not just call it a whip, guys?
Yeah, it's like, it's okay. It's possible.
And he pulls that out of nowhere.
Yes.
Which really is also part of the fact that in this episode, like, crazy solutions are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Koopa's solution to run away from Mario and the gang is to hop on Santa and ride him down there. Which I suppose may work, but I mean,
yeah, and I mean, I think all of the shouting of Bah Hum Koop causes an avalanche, which basically solves all the problems.
Yep. Yeah.
So, hopefully, you're following this at home. But they eventually make it to the North Pole. They see that it's frozen, and Santa's like, "I guess I'll have to cancel Christmas." And then, Chris, what happens? Like, Santa starts crying, and Toad's like, "You can have my snowboard."
Santa
or whatever.
Starts crying because there's ice in the North Pole.
Yeah. he clearly is suffering from some sort of debilitating brain condition.
And Toad, who's been a selfish prick the whole time, says one redeeming sentence, and Santa is so touched.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Santa? You got your present, Toad, but no one else is going to get theirs. Santa's toys are frozen.
Here, Santa, take my snowboard. At least you'll have one present you can give.
Toad, in all my life, I've never seen anyone express the true spirit of Christmas better than you.
Wait, is that what happens? Like,
That's exactly what happens.
The warmth of his heart causes everything to melt,
yes.
Which you'd think would be bad in the North Pole. Like, oh, sorry about that, Superman. Didn't mean to melt your Fortress of Solitude. Sorry about what happened to Kandor.
The ice caps have overrun.
I guess that's good.
I actually have the quote that Santa says. So basically, just Toad is like, yeah, here's my snowboard. Stop crying, old man. And Santa says, in all my life, I've never seen anyone experience the true spirit of Christmas better than you. So what about, like, the single mom who's working five jobs to buy her kids, like, a Christmas present or whatever? Just some Toad child
gives
you a
snowboard.
That's the spirit
of capitalism, Bob.
What's that?
Christmas is about that's the spirit of capitalism.
Oh, I guess so.
He also,
the spirit of Christmas is socialism. Ah. It's just, you know, an old man bringing everyone stuff.
Man, I didn't know it was so politically charged.
It also shows that Santa totally has never watched charged. A Christmas special in his life.
That's true.
That's the most.
Santa wears red, and that's no accident.
Wow, the red, the menace. He's taken to the skies, everyone. So, I mean, that's wrapped
they
up.
They track him on radar every year.
What's that?
They track him on radar.
They
every
do.
Year.
They better.
That's also not a coincidence.
Homeland Security has to do their job. But the episode wraps up. The cartoon wraps up. I'm not sure if Jeremy saw this next part, but it's completely irrelevant.
Yep.
So we cut back to Mario and Luigi's apartment in the Bronx or in Brooklyn, wherever the hell it is, and they're sort of having a discussion over pizza with this child named Brian. And Mario said, hey, I ran away as a kid, and let me tell you about it. And there's a flashback to some of the most embarrassing embarrassing things I've seen lately. It's Lou Albano and Danny Wells dressed up as kids.
Oh, man.
And I think the direction they were giving was pretend you're intellectually disabled, because the way Danny Wells is holding his hands feels like it's very deeply offensive in some way, I'm not sure.
I need you. How many times do I have to tell you not to fight? Mario, since you're the oldest, you should know better. You're grounded.
But Mama, you only grounded me 5 times this week.
Well then, go peel the garlic for the next 5 days.
Oh, Mama, no, not the garlic. It makes me smell so bad, even I don't want to play with me. Are you happy now? And she goes, she's punishing me again, man. You always get me punished. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run away from home, man.
Okay, so who cares? Who cares? Who cares?
He's like holding his hands like a dinosaur or something.
It's how I look when I play DDR.
Yeah, just like I'm not sure what's happening, but essentially Mario and Luigi have a fight. Mario's mom, who is played sensitively by a giant man, grounds Mario, so Mario runs away from home. And the moral of the story is don't run away from home because your parents might enjoy it too much. That's seriously what Mario says. Because when he comes like, back
does,
home,
does...
oh, go ahead, Jeremy.
Does this sequence jive canonically with Yoshi's Island?
God.
Yes, I was just about to say that. It, other than Yoshi's Island, it caused me to think the most about Mario's parents.
Yeah, it does. Like Mario has abusive parents. He comes home and his mom hits him in the face.
So Yoshi's actually kind of a jerk for taking Mario back to his terrible parents after being dropped off on Yoshi's Island.
Yeah, like they abandoned him there for a reason.
Somewhere there's a deadbeat dad named Vincenzo Mario.
And don't worry, there's a theme song.
The only winning move is not to play.
This show aired on, again in October, October 12th, 1991. This one's called The Night Before Cave Christmas. Get ready, folks, because if you enjoy Flintstone-style puns, this is like about 10 levels below that. It's just like...
Go ahead. I do want to say, this was an era... Mario World was everywhere. Nintendo Power had a comic that I loved.
That comic is great.
Yeah, that comic actually does stand up a lot better than most of the other entertainment
that
came out of it. We were building a recreation of Mario World in my friend's... like above an attic, we were building rounded hills and Capsella parts to make. Like we were obsessed, and we did not know this cartoon is what it is, what it looks like now. We loved it.
Okay, I have never seen, like I said, an episode of Super Mario World before watching it for this episode. Mm-hmm. Is this whole like caveman thing where they're basically trapped in the past in prehistoric world with Wonder Boy? Like, is this actually what the entire series was? Like, every episode had Mario and friends, and also Yoshi, who was basically Jar Jar Binks, and that Ugtar kid, who's basically Watto. I mean, I felt like I was watching the rough draft of The Phantom Menace with different characters, and it was really kind of terrible.
Yeah, actually, I think whoever was developing the show, and again, it's Andy Hayward, he was doing this much later, a few years later than Mario Super Show, but I think they saw a dinosaur and just immediately thought, oh yeah, Flintstones, let's just do that easiest way. Yeah.
And what's the other launch game, Joe and Mac? That's what the system is. It's built on this foundation of prehistoric.
And Ugtar is such an ugly character. So a little more information.
Well, everything is ugly. It's like the animation design aesthetic is built around the question of what happens if you try to create a Mario cartoon without any money.
Exactly. And yeah, that's one of the notes I have, but like just the worst animation. And this is the last year NBC would have cartoons on. I think they were getting out of it. Maybe this killed their cartoon lineup.
Was it right before their teen lineup?
Yeah, like 92, I believe, was the first year that it was just all like Saved by the Bell style shows.
Yes, and I think they tried cartoons for one more year. After that, didn't work.
It might have just been early morning, but yeah, I think
it's never happened again.
Yeah. So the weird thing about this, well, I mean, not weird because it was standard, but like the animation in the intro done by, it's like leagues better. It's so much better. Mm-hmm. It's like if the show looked like that, even if it was about stupid cavemen.
I think in most animation, generally the theme, the opening intro is made up of your pilot, and your pilot has the most time and attention put into it.
It's like we got the best of out of Japan for this intro. Yeah. Now we're going to go over to Korea.
I think they went to North Korea for this animation.
That's so bad.
Because only people dying of starvation would draw this way.
Did you know where most of Japanese exported animation went as far as Japanese animation goes? I think Japanese
studios used Korean studios a lot for contracting. Yeah.
But Rankin Bass used Japan, which ended up basically forming Studio Ghibli.
That's right, yeah.
I love that fact that there's probably still people at Studio Ghibli who worked on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about.
But yeah, you're not going to see anything like that here outside of the really good-looking intro. And Jeremy was questioning this, most of the series is about Mario and the gang teaching cave people to be civilized. They're sort of like missionaries almost. Like,
oh yeah,
no, it's totally cultural imperialism. They're like, well, we're here on this island. Let's force Christmas upon everyone.
Exactly.
Come on, everyone. Let's learn about Christianity.
Let's get Yoshi a credit card.
For the purpose of teaching them to be nice.
Yeah. Also, like, it was never made clear if they were trapped here, if they were visiting, if there was a way out. They seemed to be so pissed off at cavemen that, like, why don't they just leave?
I think it's just because... I think Ugtar is such a little shit.
Ahead. I know.
And he is in every single episode of this show, and they always forgive him at the end, which blows me away.
Yeah.
But that's basically it, and I don't know why they stay there.
The show is really about Ugtar's growth as, like, a human.
Doesn't get there, though.
Yeah.
Yay. I kept thinking about the part in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy trilogy where they go back in time to Earth, like prehistoric Earth, and like humanity is just kind of dying off because of... It's like completely pathetic, and so the characters are stranded there in the past with the real future humans who were like the rejects from another planet that were sent off into exile because they were stupid and useless. And they were the ones who eventually became human beings. And the primitive cavemen were just kind of dying off.
Yeah.
That's what this made me think
These
of.
These cavemen, I mean, they're was, all like irredeemable idiots. At least, like, I mean, I've seen all the episodes, so I can tell you, like, I didn't like it just because, like, who are all these cavemen? Who cares? Like, give me more enemies, more, like, Mario levels. But some more things before we get into the show, because this episode is so short, and again, nothing really happens in it. This is the first instance of Yoshi talking and acting like a dumb baby, which would become his official personality. Yeah, so I feel like that dinosaur would have always had that voice given to him by Nintendo, but maybe the show had something to do with that. Yeah, exactly. Another thing I noticed is, okay, so there was a cartoon before this called The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3, a really clunky title, but in that show, they gave the Koopa kids different names because they were operating in a different world from the localizers, and those kids did not have names in the Japanese version of the game, which came much earlier. So they came up with much different names than we originally knew them by. At this point in time, all of those names were set in stone. Like, we knew, like, Roy Koopa Jr., Iggy Koopa, you know, the whole Koopa kid gang. Yeah, but they still kept all of the original names they gave them from the cartoon, which sort of was like...
Is that why they call him Bully?
Yeah, Roy Koopa is one? Bully.
They call Roy Bully.
Yeah, and like Wendy Koopa is like Cootie Pie. Yeah, there's a lot of like really bad. I mean, not like the Koopa Kid names that we know that are really that great, but I mean, I love my Morton Downey Jr. references as much as anybody, but
yeah,
you know.
if you want to give out a really great prize to your listeners, I have a copy of this show complete on DVD that I want out of my house.
Ooh. We will we'll give that away to a random commenter, so comment on this episode and
awesome.
We'll get yeah. we'll like, have Chris
who says
up.
The most noxious horrible thing to us. If you hate us yeah. the most, we will Ooh. Send you this DVD.
Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to steal that. It's a great contest.
So
although not for my day job.
I mean, like, the episodes are broken up into 11-minute segments because I think they understood that this material was not going to last more as, you know, Captain N had 20-minute, you know, episodes, but
this,
like...
It was paired with something. I'm trying to remember what that was.
Not originally. Like, eventually this would be chopped up and, like, put into, like, a package with all the different Mario cartoons, but originally it was just two 11-minute cartoons.
Yeah, okay.
But Club Mario, I'm sure they're like, here's a Mario World cartoon and here's a Super Mario Brothers Super Show cartoon.
But it was in a block with...
I'm trying to imagine what this cartoon would pair well with. I'm thinking maybe genital torture?
Cyanide.
I don't know, Death Row?
That's not going to be my last meal, my last cartoon, I guess.
No. So, I guess I meant some kind of torture.
What a sad way to die.
Go out watching Mario World. But one last fact about this that is not interesting at all, but I'm going to share it. The theme is written by Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo fame. Yep.
Of Wild Thornberry's fame.
And of Rugrats fame.
Rugrats.
So he was all over early 90s cartoons, and he wrote the theme song before realizing what he was in for and escaping somehow.
Well, this was at a time when Devo was kind of a joke. They were the guy with the Lego hats, and they sucked, and now everybody realized, no, Devo is pretty rad.
Yeah.
And Mark Mothersbaugh is awesome, scores a bunch of great films.
Yeah, he sort of really made a name for himself, like even more than he did in Devo.
Don't forget Crash Bandicoot.
Did he do Crash Bandicoot?
Okay, wow.
Imagine if they did a cartoon out of that.
Why didn't they? There has to be a rejected pilot somewhere. Maybe. I've seen the Bubsy pilot.
Yeah, yeah.
If he got a pilot, Crash got one.
The same studio that did Donkey Kong Country brings you a janky animated version of Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So let's get in.
We don't need shaders.
Yeah, who needs that? That's for like PlayStation games.
Has there been a good animated TV show that came out of a game? I'm not quote me on this. The Zelda one might be okay. No, it's not. It can't be.
The Zelda one is much better than it should have been.
Yeah.
There's actually an attempt at drama, and I mean the pervy Link character, they needed to characterize him in some way. I don't really like
with
how
the Steve Martin catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah. But I would say the Zelda one is tolerable. Mm-hmm. Much more work went into it than the ones we're talking about today.
Probably.
But there's no Christmas special,
unfortunately. Have you guys ever seen the first Mario animation that's never been Nintendo has kind of
the movie existence. Like yes, Journey to Save Princess Peach or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. I watched it like a few years ago and I think it's really cool. I mean, the colors are wrong, like right. Luigi's colors are wrong. I think
Luigi's yellow.
Yeah. Or does he have so it's not just you can't shrug it off the fire powers.
No. But I mean, the animation is good at least.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I keep meaning to watch that.
But the animation is not good in this cartoon. As I described to Ray. Every freeze frame of this is like the character is melting in a unique way. Like every drawing is just hideous. It's like every drawing could be just put on Tumblr somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just like it's just like endless hilarity comes from these.
I captured some for the Christmas post I did about it, but every one is like taking a picture of someone with like their eye closed and doing an Elvis sneer on accident. Everyone is an accidental photo.
It's like if I had recorded it and freeze framed the VHS and tried to freehand draw it, what was going on?
Yeah,
that's
with your feet.
It's kind of the opposite of Akira. You can freeze any frame of Akira, and it looks amazing. Mm. Like it's just composed beautifully. This is the opposite of that. And there is no frame in this episode that is composed even competently.
And like knowing a lot about animation, I'm sure Chris, you know about this as well. Like when there are mistakes, shows have retake budgets. Like this character is talking when they shouldn't. This character is the wrong color. These shows did not have retakes.
No.
When I was a kid, I recognized all the animation mistakes. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, like characters' mouths are moving when the other character should be talking. Yeah. It's just like super obvious stuff that if they cared about the viewers at all.
No. I think when that happens, there. You know how actors will sometimes like mouth other characters' lines so they don't miss their cues.
Okay.
I think that's what it was. Yoshi just didn't want to miss his
cue. Damn. I didn't know there was such an involved like.
That's why he was saying the other characters'
Somebody
lines.
Somebody has seen me act.
Yeah. So this episode opens as we've pointed out. It's all about Ooptar's growth in, you know, learning and loving and living. And this episode opens with Yoshi and Ooptar fighting over a Flintstones-esque piece of meat. I think it's like the Brontosaurus steak or something. I don't know. Everything in this is like a watered-down Flintstones reference because I'm sure the people who wrote this love the Flintstones, or grew up with the Flintstones. Like, write a cut-rate Flintstones for us, and that's what they did. So Mario and the crew notice that the cavemen populace of Dinosaur World, they're just being lousy to each other, they're being violent with each other. So they decide to teach them all about Jesus. Not really. They decide to teach them all about Christmas. This is a strangely secular version of Christmas, as, you know, these specials usually focus on, not to offend anyone. Yeah. And it doesn't matter that it's August, they say. They're like, these cavemen don't know any better. So clearly they just have the worst attitude towards these people. Yeah. But they're just, you know, they're essentially tricking these people in order to get them to behave, which is sort of like, they are kind of missionaries in their
own. It's Elf on a Shelf, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And except the elf is Mario in a Santa costume.
It's Mario.
Yeah.
Are Mario and Luigi Catholic?
I don't know. They're Italian.
There's no way they couldn't be.
Yeah.
New York Italians?
Did you see? Did they genuflect in this episode? Even on accident?
There's no... Yeah, there's no...
Their games do have icons.
Yeah. There's no crucifix to be seen.
Gosh, you know there would be when Mario goes out dancing. Yeah, chest hair pops
yeah,
out.
Yeah, tangled in his hair.
Cradles a crucifix right
they
there.
They took that out of Mario's house in Paper Mario.
So, yes, so the Mario crew decides to have Christmas because apparently they can't get the cavemen to get their act together any other way, so they create Cave Christmas. Why is it called Cave Christmas? Because it's funny, I guess. I don't know.
It should have been
it's
Rock
when
Christmas.
You get your stocking filled with great shoot-em-ups.
Yeah.
Arcade shoot-em-ups by Cave.
See, your A-level...
That would be the best holiday.
Your A-level Flintstones writer would have called it something like Quartzmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Some clever rock pun.
Sure.
No, yeah, Christmas. Like,
or just Cavemas.
Cavemas.
Yeah,
that's Cavemas better. Would be
even
okay.
That. I mean, like, they don't even bother taking the Christ out of Christmas, you know, and that's important.
So yeah, Mario puts on a Santa costume, which leads to the most baffling line in the episode. Luigi says,
"Don't try wearing it in Brooklyn."
Yeah.
I wrote that down too.
Like, why? What? What does that? What does that mean?
It means Mario will be
like, what's wrong with?
Like, listen, the people of Brooklyn.
Why
not
dress as Santa in
costume,
Brooklyn?
Japery.
Hey, where are you going there, Freddie Mercury? Like Santa?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that was it.
Yeah. No, I made a point to write that down too, Jeremy. That was like inexplicable, and like it seemed to be hinting at future violence. You know.
And yeah, what, you think about it in today, the context of today, like yeah, what would happen? You'd be worshipped by hipsters.
Someone would put money in your bucket. You know. Sure. I do think the hipster, you'd be like the hipster god.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm now Santa.
Moment, but you'd be over in a couple hours.
Yeah, once people found out about you. So, I guess in the process of creating Cave Christmas, they also create a toy shop because, like, what do Mario and Luigi have jobs? Do they have anything to do in this world?
Hoping you were going to say, as the process of creating Cave Christmas came Cave Hanukkah.
Cave Hanukkah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they don't recognize any, I mean, like...
And that's, like, that uses a lot of light, which is pretty useful.
Yeah, that menorah would really light up the cave walls, but, nope, it's just Cave Christmas, and they build a toy shop that Luigi, I guess, is taking over, because I guess that's what they're doing here. And King Koopa shows up, and he doesn't like what they're doing, and he wants the toys for his children.
He wants Koopa Kwanzaa!
Yeah.
But it's like...
Cave Kwanzaa is not happening this year.
He just pops up out of nowhere. It's like... Don't you have, like, a castle to run or something?
Yeah, it
like,
sort of reminded me of, like, Rita Repulsa on the Power Rangers show, where she would, like, want to infiltrate the most minor of their activities. Like,
You're
having a sleepover, I'll show them.
Yes, exactly.
I like that they managed to go out of their way to undermine Bowser as a serious threat at every opportunity. Like, anytime he shows up on camera, something terrible happens to him.
He's literally covered
like,
in garbage the first time you see him.
I think that somebody had called it the He-Man principle, where Skeletor is the main villain. I'm sure they're like, he's iconic and awesome. Please, writers, do not make him too evil. When you need someone who is truly evil, we will write in somebody else. Do not make this character too... Koopa was lovable?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the Cobra Commander thing going on, too. Larry Hama always thought Cobra Commander should sound like Orson Welles.
Yes.
But in the cartoon, he's like, you know, he's Chris
Latta. I think they still wanted Koopa to be marketable and not, like, hated.
They wanted his people to want his toy, and if he's being a dick most of the time... Oh, man, I broke the curse barrier.
No, there's no curse barrier.
Oh, I could have been doing that the whole time.
This show's a real bastard.
Oh. You can curse at the speed
of
sound.
I feel like a ding-a-ling.
So Mario and Yoshi, I guess Yoshi is Mario's reindeer, they decide to fly off to... Well, I should say that Koopa does steal the toys, and he steals Ooktar, who is a thieving little punk who decides to take the best toys for himself. Jeremy?
The best line in this episode, it's something I was wondering or thinking myself, was that... Ooktar backward is rat goop.
Yes.
And Koopa actually says that. He actually says, Oogtar backward is rat goo.
Yes, and that is after Koopa
leaves.
Yeah,
okay, he's the most sympathetic character in this entire episode because, like, we're on the same wavelength. We both hate this
episode. Yeah, it's like, Koopa does string up Oogtar over, like, a dinosaur pit and leaves a candle burning the rope, you know, just to give him enough time to be rescued. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only reason, but...
No, Mr. Oogtar, I expect you to die.
Exactly. It is a real James Bondian move. But yeah, Jeremy, I wrote down that line too. For some reason, that line resonates with me. It's something that stuck in my head from the first time I watched it. Oogtar spelled backwards is rat goo, which just seems like a non sequitur, but I think he's implying that his parts are going to be smeared all over the floor by the time the dinosaur is done with him. Because that's what
I think Koopa was just recognizing the fact that this character is really shrill and has a really stupid
name. You're not even in the games, Jesus.
Yes, so Yoshi and Mario break into Neon Castle, which I guess is what they're calling this in the... Like, it's just Bowser's Castle, really, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, Bowser's Castle has a sign on it that says Koopa or Bowser or whatever. It's a neon sign in the game. So I guess they were like, oh, look, here's this one characteristic of the castle. Let's just call it that.
It's neon. Let's go. Come on, we gotta get out of here before the brunch special closes.
Much like with naming the kids.
Yeah.
Same way.
It's reminding me of something.
Come on, we got to write 3 more episodes today. Let's go.
Yeah. It's reminding me of something I experienced recently in 3D World. Oh, man, I got to finish that
game. Ooh, yeah, that's awesome. I love that. So, nothing happens in this episode, and to sort of pad it out even more, you have 11 minutes to tell a story, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's have a montage where nothing happens. So there's a montage where it's just really a bunch of antics. There's nothing clever. There are no sight gags.
People
just
running,
like,
back and forth Scooby-Doo style.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, they're jumping on enemies. They're
Speaking of padding, they had to find a way to fit in Mario using power somehow.
Right,
really,
right.
That's what you watch.
Yeah,
you
want
to see Mario use a feather or a fire flower or
something.
It did
feel like fan service.
So I didn't see this. So how does he consume power ups?
He just, like, touches them.
Touches
sort of
them.
But
he
still hits the blocks.
He grabs a feather.
What's that, Jeremy?
He just grabs a feather.
Yeah, and then, like, the cape appears.
That's it.
I do miss the feather. Yeah. I want the feather back.
So yeah, like, I guess Koopa just, like, leaves the show after this because he doesn't show up again. But they rescue Oogtar before he can get killed by a dinosaur, which sucks for us as viewers. But and then they're going home. But okay, they need to eat up more time. They have like okay, we need 20 seconds to kill. Oh, we can't fly home because Yoshi doesn't have his wings. So Mario just, like, walks over to a block, punches it, and gets the wings. It's, like, the biggest waste of time in the universe.
Yeah.
It's just, like, is that necessary? Couldn't you have written something more clever, or, like, a joke or something interesting happens? Like, no, it's like, Mario, I don't have my wings. Walk, 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 punch, grab wings. Now you do. Okay.
I thought at the very least he'd, like, go find a blue Koopa or something.
Yeah.
But there wasn't even that. I was really disappointed.
20 seconds where they go to the blue switch palace.
You call that fan service?
I would have appreciated a visit to the blue switch palace myself.
Yeah.
But, the show ends with Mario leaving Oogtar a present, even though he doesn't deserve one, and Oogtar leaves one for Mario, and the episode ends abruptly with everyone having learned a lesson. Mm. And one thing I wanted to point out, we passed this up, but when Koopa finds Oogtar, okay, when Koopa comes back to his Neon Castle, he has the bag of toys that Mario and Luigi made, he shakes them out, and he finds Oogtar. And Oogtar's like, oh, this present is mine. I'm going to take it away from me. And Koopa's like, no, that you have to give it back because that's for my son. So Oogtar opens it, and there's a bomb inside. And he's like, I'm glad you're not my dad. And he throws the bomb at Koopa. But my question is, like, I thought Mario and Luigi made all those toys in that bag. Were they planning to kill a caveman?
Yes.
Maybe that bomb was for Oogtar. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
No, I mean, this is, like, they were really, I think, trying to explore the butterfly principle, the butterfly effect, and, you know, the hell with consequences. These are terrible cavemen. We do not want to evolve out of these people. Let's kill them all.
Like I said, King Koopa just, like, walks away after he strings up Uktar, never to be seen again. I guess they're, like... Like, when Mario is flying away when the episode ends, when he takes the toys and Uktar back, mm-hmm. you see, like, sort of shapes run out of the castle, but they're so ill-defined, you're not sure if they are Koopa or not. I guess they are. But it was weird that...
Yeah, I think it was the Koopa
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah, but it was Koopa weird that Koopa's like, I guess I'll just leave then.
Yeah.
For the sake of convenience. So, yes. So before I kick you guys out of here and enjoy the holidays in my lonely cabin, I would like to ask a question, and that is, what did we watch... What's happening? What is this, and how can we forget about it? Jeremy?
I think this was a concentrated dose of pure human suffering, and the concept behind these holiday specials is to, you know, kind of counteract the effects of seasonal affective disorder by making you realize that your life isn't that bad. You could have to watch these all the time, but you don't, so cheer up. Don't let the holiday gloom get to you. Christmas is beautiful. Life is beautiful. Keep on living.
I think this was a... I mean, like, if you didn't live through this time period, it's a nice window into the nightmare that was this era for children's entertainment. Just like... Like I said, I have the idea that the people making the show just had contempt for their jobs. Maybe they were mm-hmm. failed sitcom writers. Maybe they couldn't cut it in another sort of writing not to insult Andy Hayward, who made so many bad cartoons.
No, but I think that goes for a lot of children's content creators, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like they might have, they might have been older writers who had gone through the sitcom system. They couldn't get work anymore. Yeah, like, who knows where these scripts came from? But
or just hacks,
or just hacks, or just people off the streets. You know,
there's always a place for you at Klasky Scoop.
Do you
want
to come? It's just like, are you hungry? Do you need a place to stay? Come in and write a cartoon for us.
Yeah.
Chris, what is your assessment of these Christmas specials? Like, if you could wrap a nutshell.
Why
sort of
I started the Christmas blog, which I could go back and re-experience these cartoons, which aren't really worth reliving. It's just, I want to take a glimpse back on this old time period that I did enjoy myself legitimately and did that via Christmas specials. And, but there is an Earthworm Jim Christmas special, I think. That I could not find, and Sam and Max, I think, have a better one for their cartoon.
Yeah, actually, that one, I think I referenced it. I think it's called Christmas Bloody Christmas, and it's about Christmas in prison.
Yeah, and Sonic's Christmas Blast, which is not
this
good.
This was a real cartoon on television? Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I think
there was a good cartoon based on a video game.
Maybe. I honestly don't know. I'm not like a huge fan of the games, actually, so that's why I cannot verify that at all.
Gas. Hmm.
I know. I played the old ones back in the day and did not care for the new reboot. I can barely remember it.
The sort of one thing I wanted to bring up before we go here, before I kick you guys out, is that the one video game related Christmas special that I like is the episode of The Simpsons called Marge Be Not Proud.
It's great. It's fantastic.
It is an episode about video games, mm-hmm. and it is very authentic to video games of the mid-90s.
What was the game called?
Bone Storm. Yeah. So if you're interested in watching a good Christmas special about video games, like concerning parodies and things like that.
It's the basis of Thrill House, right?
Yeah. So yeah, before I wanted to go, we've been spewing hatred all over, and it has wormed this tiny cabin up a bit, but I do want to land on a happier note.
Yeah. Mario can handle the hatred because he has so much good.
Yeah, but one thing I want to know, and this could be Mario related, Chris, if you want it to be, what are your our favorite winter theme levels in a video game? And
Walrus Cove, Diddy Kong Racing.
Ooh,
love that music.
Can you explain? I mean, is it just the music, or is it just
the music? Is the most Christmassy music ever,
and it's a very Christmas themed level, right?
Yes. Okay. And the town is actually dressed up for Christmas.
That's
and
right. I remember
I use
like
that song constantly in things that we produce.
Do you drive through giant wreaths or something? Or and I know there are lights and candy canes and all kinds of stuff. So.
They just really, really ran with it, and you know, I don't know. I didn't. You know, a lot of Japanese developers. I know that. The Japanese do Christmas, but
It's
not
more...
in the same way that people at Rare did Christmas, so they made a super exciting level out of it, and it's one of the most Christmassy Nintendo things you'll ever see.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Even the penguin... we were talking about the Super Mario 64 winter music, and like, I don't associate the level in 64 with Christmas, just...
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's all you hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Diddy Kong Racing, totally.
Cool, I'm down with
Great
that.
Great game, by the way.
Jeremy, do you have anything in mind for this?
It's not explicitly a Christmas level, but it's so surreal and bizarre and out of left field. When you fight the Frost Gigas in Secret of Mana, and it turns out it was Santa corrupted by evil magic. Like, it doesn't belong in the game. It's so weird.
That blew my mind, too.
But I love it. It's just like, oh, here's Santa, by the way. You just saved him. You saved Christmas in this post-apocalyptic wasteland.
The thing about that, Jeremy, like, you meet Rudolph first, but it doesn't say that it's Rudolph, so you're like, wait a minute, are they doing... And then you actually meet Santa and fight him, and you're like, oh, I got it. I get you. I know what you're going for. How about you, Ray?
Yep. I'm not sure. I guess maybe that second snow level in Mario 64...
I'm thinking of Banjo-Kazooie. I was going to say Freezy Peak. Yeah.
Where Mario can lose his hat and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to roll around on the Koopa shell in that
and
one.
And you have a little igloo, like, perspective puzzle to jump into.
Yeah.
As for me, it's not like... I was just basically thinking of winter theme, not just Christmas theme, but I like the town of Narsh in Final Fantasy VI. Mm. It's weird that a game starts in a wintry place, but that game, like, the music, just the steam rising from the pipes, you really feel like it's a cold-ass place. Like, just, like, the loneliness and coldness of that environment really, like, resonated with me as someone who grew up in a lonely, cold place. That's Ohio, folks.
And, I think somewhere on the late... I'm plugging now.
Oh, go for
it. Laser Time Network. I don't know where it's going to be hidden, but Henry and I did burst into a Boys to Men rendition of the Christmas Nights into Dreams theme song.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right.
It's horrendous, but it's going to be hidden somewhere in the wild.
That's a classic.
I want to hear that. So, let's wrap up. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, and Twitch.tv as Retronauts. Dudes, get on our social network channels. We will let you know what's happening with the show, anything extra we're doing, any videos we're doing, when the new episodes are coming out, any sort of cross-promotion that we do, because Ray and I have been on Chris's podcast. Mm. And we all do our own stuff. So if you want to know more about that, please subscribe to Retronauts on Twitter and Facebook and check out our streams on Twitch.tv. Also, please...
And Retronauts.com.
Oh, Retronauts.com. I'm getting that. Yes. Please visit Retronauts.com. Leave us a comment. Do you like this episode? We usually respond to people who are kind. And or if you're not kind, at least give us a little compliment sandwich here and there. Right?
Yeah.
So also, please keep the reviews coming on iTunes. Everyone helps. If you haven't, please do. That would be a great gift for us for all the stuff we've given you this year. Yes, I'm trying to guilt trip you. I'm sorry. So contact info. I am Bob Servo on Twitter. You can also read my stuff on US Gamer and on Something Awful. Jeremy, where are you and who are you?
I'm GameSpite on Twitter. I run a blog at 2-dimensions.com. And I spend my days writing things for usgamer.net.
Cool. How about you, Ray?
I am RDBAAA on Twitter. And, you know, I don't talk about my other podcast that much on this show. But I do a show with my best friend Alex Raioli called No More Whoppers. That's nomorewhoppers.com.
And that is your anti-Burger King podcast.
Mm.
Yeah.
Down Factory Farming.
Yeah. Sponsored by Arby's.
Chris.
Laser Time, baby. Laser Time Podcast.com. You can find a bunch of stuff that we do there. Laser Time is our pop culture show. You guys were on our Turkey Day to talk all about Mystery Science.
Yeah, so that was fantastic. Thanks for having us on for that.
And
I really liked it.
I think as far as Christmas stuff go, maybe we'll have a Christmas special. But ooh. I wanted to find the least Christmas movies that came out on Christmas Day. Because this year is like Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
and last year was Django Unchained. And
oh, that's right.
I wanted to explore the counter programming of Christmas movies throughout history, or that. Why did It's a Wonderful Life come out in January?
Yeah,
that
weird.
Doesn't make any sense. And, but yeah, there's never just that. To find out there's no Christmas movies released on Christmas. Hmm. And I know our buddy Mike Grimm did a tribute to Paul Walker with our favorite car movies, and then quizzed us on is this a real car or not.
I did enjoy that.
The Deli Boy. Oh man. Real car, just as a spoiler. We also have a video game show, Video Game Apocalypse, doing our best of around this time.
Great,
cheap podcast,
awesome.
A wrestling show, which I think will have a new episode coming soon. And
cool.
There's also Cape Crisis, the comic book show.
So Chris has a lot of podcasts on the fire.
And the Christmas site.
Let's plug that.
Again, I'm always embarrassed to plug in front of people who write for a living.
I write comedy and I laughed at all the jokes.
All right. Yes, yeah, so for like 4 years we worked on that site. We didn't do much of it this year. It got really hard.
It seems like a big undertaking.
Dude, it's like a couple thousand words a day, and then the act of, I can write that as long as I'm not editing.
Right, and like finding all the pictures.
To publish it is a nightmare, and...
That is a cartoon Christmas.
Yeah, a cartoon Christmas.
And I apologize for stealing from that. I didn't know.
Take whatever you need. That's what it's there for. 450 with pixel images for all. That was not built in a modern internet.
So tumble the shit out of those if you can. And in closing, this is not our last episode of 2013.
That's the only thing that I love that I'm really proud of that I did, because I am a hardcore animation nerd. On a couple of Christmas specials, I took screen caps of every panning shot that pans to the right or left.
Oh, nice.
And up
I love
down.
That. Yeah.
So for like Charlie Brown Christmas, there's like a giant panorama of the Christmas tree park and the opening ice skating scene. So
I love seeing those on Tumblr. Animation blogs.
I'll send you the one from the first Simpsons special where there's a scene where just a train goes through and you can see all these characters that are never used again.
Oh, wow.
And
awesome.
I pieced all that together.
Cool. So that's a cartoon Christmas.
Yeah.
And in closing, I want to let you guys know this is not our last podcast of the year, but I want to let everyone know, all the listeners out there, thank you for supporting us in 2013. We really appreciate it. And here's to a great 2014. And happy holidays to all of you out there who celebrate. And we will see you again next week.
Coco's ready.